This morning's Bible reading is from Matthew 26. We're looking at it in two parts. First is about Jesus before the Sanhedrin, and the second part is Peter disowns Jesus. Now, I will start to commence reading at verse 57. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming out on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?"
Peter disowns Jesus. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times." And he went outside and wept.
This morning, we are continuing on the teaching of Jesus, and as he was heading up to face his own death. So we looked at this passage, and we'll look at it more closely and to see what exactly went on. So you are at a packed coffee club sipping your coffee. Or for those who don't like coffee, your favorite drink. And your friend recognizes you and says, "Hey, how did your church go this morning?" How would you respond? How would you respond? Come on, be honest. We can minimize it, downplay it, or we can deny it and just try to move on. Or we can gently guide the conversation away, kind of not giving an affirmative answer, and quickly change the topic. what would you do? Peter got himself in a similar situation this morning, during that time. So this morning we will look at Jesus' trials and Peter's denial. Now, ever since Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the Pharisees and the chief priests had been looking for a way to get rid of Jesus. They did not like Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And the crowds were starting to build and following Jesus. So from that day onwards, they decided to kill Jesus. At the time, the high priest Caiaphas said it would be best to get rid of Jesus. People came to his high priest and said, look what's going on. Look at people going after Jesus. So he wanted to get rid of Jesus. Now the time has come. The false trials have started. They're just out there to find an excuse to kill Jesus. And where is Peter? Matthew chapter 26 verse 58 says, meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end out. Peter was coming here and he wants to see what's going on. His master, his Lord, has been arrested, handcuffed, and brought before Caiaphas. So he follows him. And it's a very interesting phrase. It says, Peter followed him at a distance. I can just imagine Peter rubbing his hands over the fire, trying to blend in with the crowd. The whole time he's nervously trying to catch a glimpse of what was going on inside. He's in the courtyard outside and there's trial taking place. He wants to see what the outcome is. Sometimes we follow Jesus from a distance, don't we? We don't want him. We don't want ourselves to be identified with this person, Jesus, or Christianity, or church. So we kind of, when we're in a spotlight, that we try to give it all kinds of answers. We follow him if it does not affect our comfort and safety. You see, Peter clearly loves Jesus. He's clearly interested in what's going on. However, Peter wants to keep at a distance. He doesn't want to get too close. He doesn't want to get caught up with what's happening there. So Peter's story is a story that involves calling, risk, mistakes, privileged moments, reckless claims, and denials. Peter's story is our story. Peter's story is real. It's personal. Peter is me. Peter is you. Peter is us. And that's what makes the story so personal. Who's Peter? Peter was a married man. He had his own business, a fishing business. He was an unspoken leader of the 12. He seems always the first to speak up and answer Jesus' questions or ask Jesus' question. Here's one example, Matthew chapter 26. When Jesus had this Last Supper, he was telling his disciples, he said, this very night, all will fall away on my account, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep and the flock will be scattered. When Peter heard this, he replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. And then he goes on to say, then Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And you know what Peter said? But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. That was Peter. Even if I have to die with you, I will not disown you. Okay, keep that in mind. I will not disown you. Now, Peter had a mouth, a big one. It worked for him. but also it worked against him. At one point, Peter boldly confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And the next moment, he steps in front of Jesus, that, hang on, Jesus, you can't talk about dying here. Yet in a short time, he's falling asleep when Jesus is agonizing and praying in the garden. As the Roman soldiers approached to arrest Jesus, they handcuff him, and Peter shows a remarkable courage. He takes out his sword and cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Now Jesus is led away to be tried. At this point, even though it was a good thing, and if you imagine the way the floods read the story, there was two parts to it. So at this point, we'll go on to John's gospel, where John seemingly, uniquely combines both his stories and his trials and Jesus' denials in his writing. He seamlessly puts it together. So we switch on to John's gospel and we'll see what's happening. We see two events taking place. One is in the house of the high priest. There's a trial taking place. And the other scene is in the outer court of the high priest involving Peter. Inside, it's involving Jesus. Outside in the courtyard, it's Peter. So there are two scenes operating. And John is like a filmmaker. He's got a camera on his shoulder. And he switches between two scenes. So that now, at this moment, camera is in the house. What's happening in the house? We see illegal trial of Jesus taking place. The trial was held at night. And as John read in the chapter, in his reading, we find that there was an illegal trial contradicting the Jewish law. There was no formal written statement of charging a person with an offense. There were no witnesses to condemn Jesus. And Jesus was not given a defense attorney. All these things that was required by the Jewish law. They have tried Jesus and he was condemned by the ruling high priest. He was condemned. That was what's happening inside. Now John, with his camera, he moves outside because something else is happening outside. It was Peter. John 18:16. But Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back and spoke to the servant girl on duty there and brought Peter in. Peter couldn't go in. The other disciple went in and got permission, came back to get Peter in, into the courtyard. There's no name given to the other disciple. This disciple was known to the high priest and the servant girl. So he persuades Peter to come in. So Peter is in. He's in the courtyard. He wants to find out what happens, what's going to happen next. He doesn't want to be connected in any way with this situation. He hopes that by sitting down with them, that he will be one among them in the crowd. And he hopes he can mingle with them and not stand out in the crowd. I think that was the wrong choice. He gets caught. It was here that the servant girl who opened the door and let Peter in the courtyard questions Peter at the gate. Says, aren't you one of that man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. He replied, I'm not. Blatantly, when he said, I will never disown you. Even if I have to die, I'll die for you. And now he says, I don't know this man. She catches Peter off guard. That's the first denial. Friends, what is it that catches us off guard? With the conversations with friends, especially with me. And people talk to me, conversations going very well. And they ask me, what are you doing? I say, I'm a pastor. We talk to a lot of Indian community. And Susan and myself, we've talked to them. And they ask me, what are you doing? I'm a pastor. Oh, what are you doing? I'm an accountant. Susan says, I'm an accountant. Yes, the conversation shifts there. Are you a Christian? What do you think of Jesus? It's a big letdown question. It catches us off guard. Peter was in a tight corner. What if he found out? This answer of Peter settles it. Now Peter is in the crowd. I don't know Jesus. He's in the crowd. Verse 18 says it was cold, and the servant and the officials stood around the fire, and they had to keep themselves warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself up in the fire. Wrong crowd. That's where Peter was, warming himself up. Now John's camera looks at what Peter was doing, how he denied Jesus. It shifts back because something else is happening inside. So he takes his camera and goes into the high priest's home where the trial is taking place. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in his face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. Now Matthew writes much better. He says when they asked him a question, when he replied, they slapped him. And it also says in Matthew, they spat at him. Can you imagine Jesus standing there and someone spitting at his face? In a Jewish culture, it's an insult. Even today, if you look at your television media in the Middle East, people spit at someone, it's insulting. And that's what they did for Jesus. They spat on his face. And they even fisted him on his face. They beat him up. And Jesus even told them, "Why are you beating me like this? I've done nothing wrong." So this was what was happening inside. The men who were guarding Jesus began to mock him, beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" They said many other insulting things to him. John's camera is there getting all this. Jesus is facing police brutality. He's hit on the face. They demand confession from him, false confession. They beat him many times, slapped him. So guards took him away, blindfolded. Again, they beat him, made fun of him. This was what's happening inside. Police brutality. And no one there to stop what was happening to Jesus. This was God. This is the Son of God being humiliated and insulted, beaten. John picks up all the records, all that. Now something else is happening outside. The camera switches back to the courtyard. What's Peter doing? Because John seems to be interested. What's happening inside and outside? Meanwhile, Simon Peter, still standing there warming himself. So he asked him. So they asked him, "Aren't you one of the disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I'm not." Simon Peter still standing there, warming himself. Through the smoke that was there in the courtyard, they could see someone saw. He said, "Hey, this is Peter." He denied it. That was the second denial. One of the high priests, servant, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Remember back in the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to handcuff Jesus? Peter tried to cut off his ear. This man is in the crowd whose ear was cut off, and Jesus healed him. Surely this man would know who cut his ear off. It was Peter. And this man says, "Hey, I recognize you. You were the one who cut my ear off. You are the one. You are the one who was with Jesus." He challenged him. "Didn't I see you in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. At that moment, a rooster began to crow. One of the high priest's servant, a relative of Malchus, remembered whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. And Peter denied the whole thing. And again, Peter denied. John is now saying, "Cut the lights. Stop the camera. It's all over for Peter. It's all over for Peter." He hears a rooster crowing and he knows what has happened. He remembers what Jesus had told him. It's all over for Peter. Luke brings it up very well. It says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words of the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. knew. He was caught out. He knew what Jesus said. He went out and wept bitterly. He broke down, humiliated. Peter's overwhelmed with guilt and shame, most likely morphing into sorrow and repentance. Struggled. And later on we find another disciple did the same when he was confronted. He went and hanged himself. But Peter here is morphing into sorrow, weeping bitterly with repentance. Friends, why are these denials so dangerous? It draws us away from God. Our relationship with God becomes cold and distant. We no longer want to be with God. Our walk with God gets cold and distant. God, somewhere out there in the fringes. Once your relationship with God burned so brightly, now it's cold and distant. What went wrong? How did it happen? At the garden where Jesus was agonizing in prayer, Jesus asks Peter and the other two disciples, come and stand with me, watch and pray. Pray. And when Jesus agonized, he came back and he saw them sleeping. Peter was sleeping. He went in again. Three times it happened. Peter was still sleeping and Jesus said, watch and pray that you will not enter into temptation. What a tremendous statement that Jesus told Peter. And the very same thing happened. Prayer had gone out of Peter's life. Open to temptation. And friends, it's a tremendous assurance today when we face challenges and trials. Let's pray. Pray and seek God. Pray. When we deny prayer, Bible reading, Christian fellowship, our lives will slowly drift away from God. Talk to people who are not interested with church, with Christianity anymore. Talk to them. There's no prayer life. There's no Bible reading. There is no fellowship among the fellow believers. They drift away from God. Whom does this story apply to? For those who feel the pull of circumstances to draw away from God. Take heart, friends. Do you feel weak and confused this morning? Peter felt it too. Are you discouraged? Peter was discouraged too. Do you feel backed into a corner? So did Peter. So the story is for you and me. The story is for those who are down in the dumps. Perhaps you gave way under pressure this week. Perhaps you're carrying a load of guilt. Maybe you said something that you should have not said. Perhaps you have been where you should have not been. Peter felt like you, down in the dumps. He went out and wept bitterly. Jesus was declared guilty so that we would be declared righteous. Jesus was charged under the law so that all the charges against us would be dropped. Jesus was condemned where he has forgiven us. Jesus, the righteous one, was condemned so that we as sinners would be justified. There is hope for all of us. The best of us, the worst of us, and the rest of us, there is hope. So often, we can be faithless, but Jesus is faithful. He's always faithful. And this morning, friends, as we come around the communion table, as we take the wafer and drink the juice, it is his body that is broken for us. Started from when he was under trial for no reason. Innocent man being condemned, beaten, spat on, slapped, hit with fist, and later on whipped. His body was broken for us. He shed his blood for us. that we can experience cleansing and forgiveness. A reminder that he loves us and that his love will never stop. He never stops loving us. He forgives us and he sets us free. And this morning, friends, we weep. He dries our tears. He died so that we can live. Jesus never stopped loving Peter, and he never stops loving you. I'll be picking up this story later on another time when we look at Peter again. How God marvelously restored Peter back. He kept loving. Even though Peter denied Jesus, Jesus still loved him. He loves us too. So at this moment, friends, let's look deep in our hearts. As we come to the tables, as we have different stations, pick up the cup and the wafer. We might deny Christ many times, but he's faithful. We have been unfaithful to him, but he's been faithful. So let's take the cup and the wafer. Take it back to our place. A moment of silence. Let's remember what he has done for us. Let's pray as we come up in the front. Father, as we come up, Lord God, to take these elements, thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and alive. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to go to the cross on our behalf. Lord, we pray that you'd make this story so vivid in our minds that we are weak like Peter, prone to all kinds of denials. But when we turn to you in love and seek your face, you offer forgiveness and restoration. Thank you for that grace, which is always available for us. Help us, Lord, to turn our eyes to you, to look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.